Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
It was beautiful. We had a great time in the presence of the Lord, and we are going to be starting this morning with our theme for the month of April, and the theme is the 40 days of glory. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Somebody say glory.
Glory.
For 40 days. So that's our theme for this month, the 40 days of glory. And that is taken from the fact that when Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, remember, he went to the cross, and he actually did say that on the third day, I am going to rise back up again. Amen. Amen. So he rose on the third day as we were celebrating his resurrection on Sunday. So he rose back up again, and he just hung around for 40 days, just so that even those who did not really believe that he was risen from the dead would also know and understand that. Amen. So he was around his disciples. He was teaching. He was performing miracles and talking a lot about the kingdom of God for 40 days before he ascended back to the Father in heaven. Somebody say amen. In the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So it is not just a good idea that we are going to be having this theme in the month of April, but it is taken from the book of Acts, chapter number one from verse number 1 to verse number 3. Listen to what the Bible says also in the book of John, chapter number 20, verse number 30. It says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Verse number 31 says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Somebody say amen. So we are just going to call these days that Jesus was here on earth for, after his resurrection, 40 days of glory before we celebrate the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And under that theme, the subject that we are going to be talking on this morning is walking in the newness of life. Somebody say walking in the newness of life. Please turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. Romans, chapter number 6, we are going to read verse number 4 to verse number 8. The Bible says, "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We are so grateful that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We give you praise, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your oil, my God, your fresh anointing, both to speak and to hear your word. Thank you that your word proceeds with power, with great precision and authority. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, even unto the transformation of our lives, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise and we honor you in Jesus' name. And somebody say, amen. Now, bazalwane, the greatest injustice that we can ever do is to, after celebrating such a great Passover over the weekend, after having such a great Passover experience, and then we walk back into our old lives, and those lives being the lives of shame and of guilt, because that's what the enemy wants. Even from the start, you will remember when he was dealing with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, as soon as he introduced sin to them, he wanted them to be ashamed, and they were ashamed. So when the enemy comes against us, he always wants us to be ashamed. So we cannot then, bazalwane, having heard about the story of Jesus Christ and how his story overrides our history, and how his story has affected us in through the forgiveness of our sins, that we then, just because it's no longer Passover, we go back to a life of sin and a life of shame and a life of guilt, because that's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. And I want us to know this morning that no matter what we have done, we do not have to be ashamed by reason of the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So even as we have said last week that the devil wanted our story to end in guilt and in shame, that is why he was even defeated even in the garden, because God made a plan when Adam and Eve were ashamed. It is because God knows that shame and guilt is heavy on our souls. Whenever you feel ashamed and you are feeling guilty about something, it is heavy in our souls. And God does not want our souls to be burdened by shame and guilt. Somebody say amen. Amen. So he wanted sin to have dominion over us so that we can remain guilty and ashamed forever. But the devil is a liar, and the devil is already defeated by the work of the cross of Calvary. And therefore, we are no longer those who are living a life of guilt, and we are not ashamed. The Bible even takes it to the next level, and it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power unto salvation. Somebody say amen. Because sometimes when the enemy wants us to be guilty and ashamed, he wants us to even be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we feel ashamed of what we have done. And when we are amongst people who know what we have done, then the enemy will want us to be ashamed of even the gospel itself, because then we tend to even hide the fact that we are children of God, hide the fact that we have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, because people are going to say, I will now, because we know you to have done 1, 2, 3, and 4. It does not matter what you have done. It does not matter where you are. As long as you have repented and you have appropriated the blood of Jesus and you truly, truly believe in the work of the cross of Calvary, even the devil himself, without even sending his demons himself, the big boss, if he comes and wants you to be ashamed and wants you to feel guilty, you have the right to show him the door. Somebody say amen. You have the right to say, you have no right to speak these words in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, because the blood of Jesus Christ has already paid the price. Somebody say amen. If there is someone who bore our shame, it was Jesus. I don't think it gets any worse than what Jesus went through. And he went through what he went through so that we do not have to be ashamed. Jesus was shamed by the devil, but he was shamed on our behalf so that we do not have to be ashamed. Somebody say, no more shame.
No more shame.
Yes, there is no need for shame anymore. You don't have to be guilty about the things that are already under the blood. And I know that some of us, because maybe other people are even reminding us of what we have done, then these things are embedded in our souls and we always try and want to maybe fix it with our own might. But the Bible says it is not by might nor by power, but it is by the Spirit. Somebody say amen. So it is possible for us to walk without being ashamed and without feeling guilty of anything, and I mean anything. It does not matter what it is. It was provided for at the cross of Calvary. When Jesus was made the spectacle of shame, he took away our shame. Somebody say amen, because he stood in the gap for us. So now, we are so grateful to God for the resurrection power, because sin and guilt and shame was defeated when Jesus rose from the dead. He separated us from any other religion because he rose from the dead and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So together with our shame, with our guilt, together with our sins, Jesus rose from the dead and was victorious. The Bible says that he went even to hell itself and took the keys of the kingdom. The Bible says because he took the keys of the kingdom, now whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So therefore, we are those who need not to be ashamed. In fact, we need to walk tall and be in authority and take back our dominion, even dominion over sin. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we are free from sin and we shall live a new life in Christ. Jesus did not just die so that we can just pass time, but Jesus died so that we can be free from sin and live a new life in Christ. And as we walk, we need to walk in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. So when I get saved, when I get born again, I need to also not just park there and say, now that I am saved, now that I am born again, it is enough. But we need to be those who are living in dominion. We must not let sin dominate us, but we must dominate sin. We must not let flesh dominate us, but we must dominate flesh. We must not let even any other thing, any situation, any circumstance to dominate us, but we are supposed to live in dominion, because when Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated the grave, he defeated Satan, and as I said, he even took the keys of the kingdom. And therefore, we are supposed to be those who are dominating here on earth. We are supposed to be those who are dominating in this life. And how do we dominate? We dominate by walking in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. Because if the enemy can just let us be saved, let us be born again, but then take away the dominion and the authority of walking in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, then we are those who are just passing time so that we can make it to heaven. But we will not dominate here on earth. We will not enjoy our salvation here on earth. We will not enjoy that which Jesus fought for, died for, and resurrected for. Somebody say amen. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 15, verse number 29. It says, but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So now here Paul was saying, when I come, I will come to you, not just as a mere man, man, not just as somebody who's coming to preach that gospel, not just as somebody who is a doctor, not just as somebody who is a teacher, not just as somebody who is a businessman, but I come wherever I go in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. Ah, Bazalwane, that is such a powerful life, because then that separates us from the rest. Somebody say amen, because when we enter whichever sphere of influence, we go there in the fullness of the blessing, not half the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, holistically summed up, it is that he came, that he died, that he resurrected, and that he ascended. So every blessing that comes with all of those events that Jesus had to conquer here on earth, we have to walk in the fullness of that blessing. So Paul here teaches us a very important lesson to say, don't just go wherever you are sent, wherever God has opened a door for you. Don't just go with your talent. Don't just go with whatever it is that may be your expertise, but go in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, because you are a person who has the right to dominate by reason of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the 40 days of glory was the demonstration of the kind of life that we are supposed to live in Christ as we are the children of God. They were the days of power. Somebody say power. They were the days of power. And I did say even on Friday that what I love about Jesus, when he was glorified, when he was perfected, because the Bible says on the third day he was perfected. So in other words, he was back in his element, because he was God. He was man, 100% man and 100% God. But on the third day, he was in his element. No flesh was going to limit him. Somebody say amen. Even as I said on Friday that even when they were expecting him to walk through a door that was locked, to knock for them to open for him, the Bible says he walked through the wall. Why? Because he was perfected. He once even said to Pharaoh, go and tell that fox Pharaoh that today I am casting out devils, tomorrow and also I'm going to be doing some works, but on the third day I shall be perfected. When he was talking about him being perfected, he was talking about him walking in the fullness of his power as God himself, as the second person of the triune, as the second person of the Godhead. He was talking about that power. So when we say we are talking about the days, the 40 days of glory, we are talking about the 40 days of power. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the fullness of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the enemy has been dancing all around us and busy doing whatever it is that he wants. But once the power is restored, somebody shout power. Once the power is restored, the enemy cannot be able to defeat us. That when the power is restored, he will come back with the trick that he used yesterday. But lo and behold, today I am perfected. Today I am now living in the glory. Today I am now experiencing the 40 days of glory, the fullness of his power. And therefore he cannot be able to trick me with what he used to trick me before. Somebody say amen. Amen. By reason of his power. Somebody shout power. So these are the days of power. I don't know about you, but I want them in my life. I want them in my workplace. I want the power of God to be at work. So in other words, we are prophesying, we are declaring these days until the ascension day of Jesus Christ, the days of power, where we shall experience his power, where we shall see him as God and the only true God. And when we talk about the power of God, we are not talking about obvious things. When we talk about the power of God, we are not talking about something as much as it is a blessing from God, a salary at the end of the month. It is a blessing from God. But when we are talking about the power, when God begins to operate in power in your finances, month end, there is no need for month end to come for you to be blessed. Do I have the right crowd this morning? Does somebody believe that if God can even interject in the month, during the month, your story can change in the days of his power? Somebody say amen. When we talk about his power, we are not saying that his power does not heal headaches. But when we talk about his power, I am thinking about God doing miracles, signs, and wonders that no man can even fathom. Somebody say amen. When we are talking about the days of his power, we are talking about what he alone can be able to do. We are talking about the kind of a blessing that is in its fullness when Jesus in his element begin to intervene in your life and show you how powerful he is, that even someone who does not even love you that much, that someone who does not even like you that much, may be the one talking for you. Hallelujah. In fact, I want to pause and prophesy and say, even in the rooms where you are not going to be represented, may God raise somebody just to show his power, so that then they can even speak about your name, so that his power may be made manifest in your life. Somebody say amen. When we are talking about the power of God, we are talking about what no man can be able to do. Somebody say amen. Not things that other people can be able to claim and say, I can also do that. But when he begins to manifest his power, he does not want anyone to equal to him. He wants to be the one and the only one who gets the glory, that even the things that you were never able to do, when he begins to show forth his power in your life, his power will take you from one level of defeat to a level of victory instantly. His power. Somebody shout power. The days of his power. He went about with proofs, infallible proofs. That's what the Bible says. That cannot be denied. 40 days from the day of resurrection. 40 days. I'm alive. Just in case they even begin to tell a lie, just like those who bought the guards. Just in case they begin to say, Jesus did not rise from the dead. How come we did not see him? He walked around. Not only did he just sit down maybe with his disciples, but the Bible says he was working. He was working. So Jesus is not going to relax in your life. Even in these 40 days, even in the month of April, we command it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we say it is not going to be a month that is just as quiet as any other month. But this month is a month where we shall experience his power. Somebody shout power. Yes, that when someone who does not like you begin to even do things for you, and you wonder, how come this person is doing this for me? Because I know they don't like you, they don't like me. Let me tell you something, it is the days of his power. Please do remember, when you wake up to an SMS of money, you do not know where it comes from, that it is the days of his power. Please remember, when you get a phone call for someone, from someone that you have not seen in a very long time, someone whom you have even written off the debt that they've been owing you, but they just give you a phone call and they say, you know, this thing is not sitting well with me. I owe you so much money in such a way that I want to give you even more than what I owe you. Please remember that it is the days of his glory. Please remember that it is the days of his glory when somebody calls you from a big company and says to you, we are offering you this kind of an offer that is irresistible. Please remember that it is the days of his power. The days of his power are the days of miracles. The days of his power are the days of signs. The days of his power are the days of wonders. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in a wonder. Somebody shout a wonder. I'm interested in a wonder. Maybe some of us have seen miracles. Maybe some of us have seen signs. But I'm interested also in a wonder, because he is a God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ever ask or think. I want to believe that if it is something that is more than what we can ever ask or think, the Bible says it has not even conceived in any man's heart. So I believe that if it is something that has never been conceived in any man's heart, that's a wonder. Oh, may God show us a wonder. That's a wonder. It's a wonder. It's a wonder.
Amen.
Do you know why it's a wonder? Because it leaves people wondering. Are you here this morning? It's a wonder. You will wake up in the morning and you will also wonder, how did I get here? It's a wonder. It's the days of his power. Days of his power. It's a wonder. It's a wonder. How did I get here? It's a wonder. How come everybody else is losing their jobs, but I'm still here? Instead of losing, I'm even elevated. Instead of being fired or even being retrenched, I'm actually even getting a better. It's a wonder. It's a wonder. It's a wonder. It leaves people wondering. How? 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 Hi, Pela Bazalan. Mary experienced a wonder. It's something that no one, no one can be able to explain. No one can be able to explain it. Not even you yourself. You can't explain it. Many times we say we fasted. Many times we say we did 1, 2, 3, and 4. We prayed these kind of prayers. We did this. We did that. Let me tell you something. In the days of his power, a wonder will leave you wondering. How did God reach me with this? So many other people, others even before me. But how did God reach me? It's a wonder. Mary was wondering. She said, how will this be? It was not in disbelief, but it was a wonder. It was a wonder. These are the days of his power. And we shall experience wonders. Somebody say, show me a wonder. I shout, show me a wonder. Shout, you are talking to your God. Show me a wonder. Yes, others are going to experience a wonder even this afternoon. Others are going to experience a wonder tomorrow. Others are going to experience a wonder this week. Next week, many are going to experience a wonder, because the Bible says for 40 days, Jesus was working. He was not sitting. He was working, showing them the kind of life they are supposed to live after he had gone, after he had ascended. The kind of life they are supposed to live. Busy with miracles, signs, and wonders. I want a wonder. A wonder. And I've heard so many testimonies of wonders, and it must be renewed in our days. I don't know about you, but the Bible I read is full of wonders, examples of wonders. And for as long as in our lives, in our families, and in this church, we have not experienced it at that level, we are not going to shy away from declaring the fact that we want to see his glory.
Amen.
And we want to experience his power. Somebody shout, a wonder.
A wonder.
Ah, God is going to give us a wonder. Hallelujah. It's the 40 days. The 40 days of power. 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 Bazalwane. Power is something that will cause us to easily preach the gospel. If there is power in what we are doing, people will easily believe in the gospel we are preaching. So we need the power of God. And what I love about this power is that when Jesus died at the cross of Calvary, he sowed the seed of power in the inside of us. And this seed of power is incorruptible. This seed that has been sown is forever. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 23. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So as the born again children of God, as the born again Christians, we must never settle for anything less than that which was purchased for us at the cross of Calvary. The greatest injustice that you can do for yourself and those coming behind you, that is your children, your family, and your children's children, it is an injustice not to know the spoils of Calvary, not to know what is it that Jesus accomplished for you at the cross of Calvary, so that then you can teach those coming after you what it means to be a born-again Christian, what it means to be a child of God. It's not just a title, but it is power. Being a child of God and being called a born-again Christian means that there is a seed of power that has been sown in the inside of you, and it is forever. It is not when you are feeling good. It is not when you just experienced a blessing or a miracle, but this seed abides forever. And this seed will keep drawing you back to the Father. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the Bible says it is incorruptible and it abides in us forever. We need to never settle for anything less than what was purchased for us at the cross of Calvary. And also, we need to always be aware of what was, of what rightfully belongs to us. Somebody say amen. Amen. And this morning, I just want us to take four of these things that rightfully belong to us that we need to be very much aware of and practice every day and consciously live in them that was purchased for us at the cross of Calvary. We are going to take four. And then we are going to go home. Somebody say amen. Amen. These are taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10, where the Bible says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking parts which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So, number one, we need to understand that we are new creatures. That is the first thing that we need to understand and believe. Because sometimes the enemy can rob us of the fact that we are new creatures by not believing fully in the fact that there is something called the newness of life. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, chapter number 5, verse number 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many things?
All.
How many things?
All.
Even that which you feel ashamed off. All things have passed away. All things. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, and the old things have passed away. Paul even once said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on towards the mark of my high calling. Because it is key to forget the things that are behind. It is very critical for us to forget the things that are behind. Because I think there is a reason why we are forward looking. God made sure that everything we need in life is forward. We are forward looking. Even our eyes, we can't look at the back with our eyes. Even with our feet, we don't have the feet that are facing backwards. If that happens, something is wrong. Why? Because there is nothing glorious about your past. So why do you revisit it all the time? It is because in most cases we don't believe in the simplicity of the gospel. That just by believing and that the blood of Jesus has washed my sins away, are really my sins forgiven? Let me tell you something this morning and free you forever. Please believe in the fact that your sins are forgiven. You are a new creation. You are a new creature. All things have become new. All things have become new. Number two, we also need to understand the fact that we have the grace to do good works. We have the grace to do good works. So we are not going to do the good works with our own strength. But we are going to depend on the grace of God. Because some of us always think that there is no way we can be able to live this Christian life. But let me tell you something. You do not live the Christian life with your own might. You do not do the good works with your own might. But you do the good works by the grace of God. Somebody shout grace.
Grace.
There is grace available for each and every child of God to do the good works. The key thing that I always say is that you need to be interested in doing the good works. Once you are interested in doing the good works, the grace will be released. And then you will be able to do the good works. What are the good works? The works that God wants us to do as his children. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Timothy, chapter number 2, verse number 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So we need to have the zeal for good works, living a righteous life, doing the things that God would want us to do. Because in the kingdom of God, there is also a part that we need to play. And that part that we need to play across the board, Basil, and even when we talk about offering, we always say this is the part that we are playing, because there is a participatory role that we must always play for God to also play his role. That is why even when you are getting saved, it does not just happen supernaturally, as much as it is a supernatural thing that happens, but there is a part that you must play. You must confess with your mouth, you must believe in your heart, and then it is unto salvation. Somebody say amen. So the same with the good works. We have to participate in the kingdom of God. We have to participate in this journey of our walk with God, in this journey of our salvation. And every good work that God expects from us, he does not expect us to generate our own power to do all of those good works. But he wants us to depend on his grace. Because he wants us to be his special people, his own special people who are zealous for good works in such a way that when there is something unrighteous that has taken place, you can see, Ugutman, this is not me. This is out of character. Anything unrighteous must be out of character for you as a child of God. Why? You are zealous for good works. You want to do good works and you want to participate in this relationship that you have with God. And number three, we are people who are supposed to take a new direction. We are people who are supposed to take a new direction. Even as we are the children of God, we cannot live our lives the same way that we used to live them, because it will be as though the cross of Jesus Christ and the salvation of our souls and the forgiveness of our sins was in vain if we are people who are still going to go the same direction. Somebody say amen. We are people who are supposed to turn away from anything that does not cause us to become closer to God. And we take the direction that will always cause us to be closer to our God. Because as we said at the beginning of the year, that even as it is the year of the glory of God, for us to be able to see the glory, we are talking about his presence, his power, and his prosperity. But with his presence, there is no way that you can be a host of the presence of God unless you change direction. You cannot be a Christian and say, I am now a born-again Christian, and yet you continue in the same direction, because that direction will not cause you to be closer to God. And remember, you need to have the presence of God. You need to be closer to God at all times. And you don't want to be a person who wakes up in the morning and you feel as though the presence of God is far from you. Even Moses one day said, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Why? He understood that there were battles that they were going to face along the way. So I want us to understand that here in this life, we are going to face battles along the way. Even though we are born again, even though we are children of God, we are not exempted from facing hurdles in life, from facing situations and circumstances that are a battle to each and every one of us. But I want us to understand that the power that we possess is the power of going with the presence of God, because some other things and some other demons that we fight, they are not scared of us, but they are scared of the presence of God. So we all need to be people who are interested in the presence of God. But if we don't change our direction, we are not going to be those who are carriers of the presence of God. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, verse number 4. It says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. So our walk, the direction that we take, must indicate to the fact that, must point to the fact that we are now living a newness of life. We are now walking in the newness of life. And there's no way that you can walk two paths at the same time. That is why it is important to change the direction and walk in the newness of life. And we are really, bazalwane, if we don't embrace the newness of life, we are short-circuiting our power if we don't walk in the newness of life. And the newness of life does not mean now that you must have terms and regulations and all of that. It's just a matter of a lifestyle to say, I am a child of God and this is my new life and I am going to walk in it. So everything that God would want us to do, everything that God commands for us to do, need not to be a burden for us. But we must follow the rhythm of his grace. and change the direction. And once we change the direction, once in our hearts we have that zeal to change the direction, let me tell you something, grace will kick in and we will be able to walk in the newness of life. Jesus died for you. He did not just die so that everything that has been heavy on you, even though you are now walking with him, you are still carrying it yourself. He wants to ease the burden. And even his word says his burden is light. So when you are holding on to the direction that you have been going before you were a Christian, before you got saved, you are holding on to the heavier burden. When you think you don't want to maybe let go of certain things. But let me tell you something. To sum it all up, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. So when you don't walk in the newness of life, you are holding on to the heavy burden. Whereas there is a lighter one that has been provided for you. So I would urge each and every one of us this morning as the children of God, let us change our direction and walk in the newness of life. And not walk like those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And not walk like those who, as though we do not possess the power that has come together with his resurrection. But may we be those who embrace the power that comes with his resurrection and begin to walk in the newness of life. I'm telling you, you will have a lighter burden. In this other direction, there is hatred. And hatred is heavy. And sometimes even if you don't want to hate, you hate. Yeah, you hate because somebody, rightfully so, somebody did something bad to you and you hate. And you carry unforgiveness. And all of those things are heavy. And how many know that unforgiveness is not just something that that is detrimental to the person that you have not forgiven? But it is a problem for you. It's heavy on you. So when you, and unfortunately, without the newness of life, you can't forgive. No man abese kutufuna kangakanani, you can't forgive unless you are walking in the newness of life. So when you are not allowing yourself to change your direction in your life, in your family, and in your calling, you are holding on to the heavy burden. But Jesus offers a lighter burden in the newness of life. When you walk in the newness of life, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Other people will say, I'm going to fix you up. Why? Because they are still carrying heavy burdens. Yeah, even pastors themselves, even bishops, they will say, "You don't know me. You don't know me. How? So the you that we see at church is not the you that it's not the true you. The one that is lifting up the hands, the one that is worshiping, is not the true you." Why? Did not change direction. Attended church, enjoyed church, was even given positions in church, but did not change direction. So you are still walking around with the heavy burden. And a heavy yoke. But Jesus says, let there be a divine exchange. Amen. Let us exchange. Give me that burden of hatred. Give me that burden of unforgiveness. Give me that burden of a heavy heart all the time. Give me that burden. And I'm going to give you my one, which is light. But unfortunately, I can't give it to you if you are not going to walk with me. And walking with me requires you to embrace the newness of life. Changing direction. And saying, now I'm a child of God. I'm changing my direction and I'm walking in the newness of life. And in no time, you will feel yourself as a person who is not heavy. You will feel that hatred that was so heavy on your soul is no longer there. That bitterness that was so heavy in your soul is no longer there. Why? You are walking in the newness of life. Some of us work in hostile environments where people are busy doing certain things, and we cannot afford to be lukewarm with our faith, because then we are not going to experience the power that comes with the newness of life. But if we change direction, we are going to experience the power that comes with the newness of life, and God will fight our battles for us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Number four, we will live good lives. We will live good lives. Good lives. Holistically. Not just a good life of having certain things. Not just a good life of having certain resources. Not just a good life of having material things. That is good. It's needed. We all want it. But let me tell you something. The good life that God speaks about is a good life that is holistic. That even though you are living in a big house, but also your heart is full of peace. That even though you are driving a beautiful car, but also your mind is intact. Your mind is sane. Your mind is at peace. Somebody say amen. So that is the kind of a good life that God wants us to live. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Psalm, chapter number 23, verse number 6. It says, surely goodness. So in other words, all that is good. All that is good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not only for a few minutes. Not only for a few hours. Not only for a few days. Not only just for a few months. Not even only for a few years. But surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So in other words, I will have bodyguards, two bodyguards, all the days of my life. I will have two escorts all the days of my life. They are going to follow me all the days of my life. So in other words, wherever I go, goodness follows me. When I go to my workplace, mercy follows me. And the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. So in other words, the mercy that I saw yesterday is not the kind of a mercy that I'm going to see today. So when he says goodness, surely, 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 surely. So in other words, if God was a Zulu person like me, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Ah, bazalwane, mangabe umuntu esethe ngiyakutshela usuke azazi, usuke yazi icapacity anayo, usuke yazi usuke awazi ama capabilities zakhe. So God understands that he is able to generate new messes. Every morning, it does not have to maybe even be you who try and cook up a mercy. He says, my mercies are new every morning. And then he says, surely. That's what David says. He says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a man who understands the God he serves. That's a man who understands what it means to walk in the newness of life. That's a man who understands what it means to walk with God every day. It means that goodness and mercy shall follow you. And this morning, I just want to say to somebody, surely, 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 in these days of his glory, in these days of his power, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Maybe turn it into a prayer and say, Lord, let your goodness and your mercy follow me all the days of my life. Bazalwane, if you don't know how powerful the goodness of God is, you can go and ask the guy who actually asked God and said, show me your glory. It was Moses who said, show me your glory. And God said, I will cause my goodness to pass by. So when we are talking about goodness and mercy, we are talking about ubunkulunkulu bukaNkulunkulu. Because he is good, he cannot help it. But the Bible says he is a good and gracious God. So he is so good. So when you find him in the newness of life, after you have been saved, after you've been born again, after you have experienced the cross of Calvary and his resurrection, let me tell you something. You are going to enjoy his goodness. God is going to be so good to you that even when people withhold their goodness to you, God himself will be good to you. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Let us stand. We are going to pray. All the days of your life. It means you will live a good life. Because if all the days of your life you are followed by the goodness of God, surely that life will be good. Yes. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in a good life. Yes. I want to live a good life. Yes. And that life is only found in the newness of life. Yes. That life is only found when we walk with God the way he wants us to. So that the enemy does not allow us to bury our heads in shame. Because when we bury our heads in shame, we cannot reach out for the goodness of God because we are feeling ashamed about ourselves. Even when we are supposed to pray and believe God for certain things, the devil will come and say, not you. Others can be able to approach God, but not you. Because the enemy wants you to bury your head in shame. And the reason why he wants you to be ashamed and guilty, it is because he does not want you to enjoy the fullness of the gospel, of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, the enemy has been defeated. We are going to be the children of God who are living the new creatures in God. We are going to be the children of God who are going to experience the grace to do the good works. We are going to walk in new directions. We are going to change our direction and walk the way God wants us to, and we are going to live good lives. Somebody say, I will live a good life. Prophesy upon yourself, I will live a good life. Yes, you will live a good life, and that life will be holistic. It will not just be a good life that looks good on the outside, but even when you are all by yourself, you will enjoy yourself. You will enjoy the company of the Holy Spirit. Now that's a good life. That even though you are walking with many things that may not go your way, that may not be going your way, but the peace of God, the Bible says it transcends all understanding, all human understanding, floods your heart, floods your soul. Why? Because you are a new creature. You walk in the newness of life, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. That's how you live a good life. That mercy will say no to certain things that the enemy or those who do not like you may wish for you or may even try and plot against you. Mercy will say no because mercy follows you. So as you walk about your daily lives, be conscious of the fact that goodness and mercy follows you. That's how you live a good life. When the goodness of God keeps dropping things in your life, blessings upon blessings in your life, the goodness of God being made manifest in your life, living a good life, and mercy saying no to anything that is not of God coming to you. Why don't you take a moment this morning and begin to thank God for all these four spoils of Calvary. For all of them. That you have a chance to redirect your life. You have a chance to redirect your calling.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much, and keep on building.